Meatballs, Starship, Rogan Show with Anna DeBlantis, off for another day of broadcast insolence. Anna off today. Mr. Richard Roper in the studio with us.
Happy spring.
Yeah, it's really funny. I was talking to a friend of mine today about how he's got a business that's got an indoor-outdoor component to it. Does some stuff. It does the audio-visual kind of stuff. And he said he's ever since for the last 2 days, people are calling about outdoor speakers and outdoor TVs and stuff like that because they think it's spring. And I'm like, hey.
Easy now.
The people you need to call now are Arkadek, because Arkadek, they actually, you know, this can take a little bit of lead time.
It's true.
Give them the bell, Roper.
My guy can, my other guy here, Bill from Team One, he can take a day to do that. Yeah. You got planning here, my friends, for Arkadek. See what I did there?
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
I've got a beautiful new swimming pool, a pothole, some call it, but it's in my alley. Get a diving board installed.
Soon, there. So you can ice skate on it.
Nice. We can curl. We talked about curling. Let's go curling.
You know what is really upsetting to me as I was driving down Lakeshore Drive over the weekend is how bad Lakeshore Drive is right now. You know, it's just a matter of minutes until they announce a Lakeshore Drive total redo.
And you know what
that's like when that happens.
Oh, no.
Because we just got over, we're just now done with the last major mess project, which is the Eisenhower.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the new ramps there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems like that's been going on since the early 1800s. Right? That's done.
The Kennedy project near Cumberland should be done sometime this century.
Sure.
Although I got to tell you that what I really think is cool, though, is 90 past O'Hare. That finally is done.
Oh, wow.
That had been going on, you know, once you get past O'Hare and you head out toward, toward the land beyond O'Hare, as it was always known.
Sure. Hoffman Estates.
Yes. Things like that. Things that that are your, places like, you know, where Kevin's from. That once you're heading out toward that, that's really nice now.
Is it? Finally? Yeah.
You mean the Elgin O'Hare?
The Elgin O'Hare is a different expressway, isn't it?
That's just completed, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's not really. It doesn't go to Elgin nor O'Hare, does it?
It does.
They finally got it?
Very much money.
Did it finally get to Elgin?
Yes, and it collects a lot of tolls. Well, it's like Streamwood. Yeah, it goes to Elgin and stops. That was already done. It wasn't going to O'Hare. Was the last piece of it?
Right. Okay. Right. Well, I was just talking about, you know, the 90. 90 looks nice now, finally. There was nothing but those gigantic tubes on the side of the road. Yeah. You know, last time I saw them, they're in Diamonds Are Forever, and James Bond was asleep in one of them, and then he woke up, and he was already in a hole with a rat. That's those gigantic, like, you know, whatever those things are. They're drainage pipes of some sort. It was just all up and down, and now finally it's all clean and done.
Judy's right about those tolls, too. I mean, they'll literally take a toll on you. It's like once in a while you find yourself you're on the wrong side of it, and I don't have the eye pass. And my feeling is I'll just go, and if I close my eyes at the exact right moment when you go through, then it won't catch me.
You can pay later online.
That's what they say. Yeah.
No, you can. It's not a joke. And I think it's the same price if you pay
They send
right
you a little
away.
Note even. They're nice.
You don't have an eye pass?
No. I don't either.
Get an eye pass.
You city people don't have eye passes.
I should, though, because I drive enough. I just forget about it. And I go to Indiana a lot because, you know, I got to get the cigarettes and the fireworks. And, man, they really get you on the sky. Every time you're
the skyway's ridiculous.
It's like they bargain with you in the toll booth. What do you say? $6 this time. I go, I got five. All right, I'll take 5-10. Or you get that little card where it takes, and then you pull up and you think there's going to be a person, and then there's just a machine, and then you start fumbling.
I miss having to throw the coins in.
It was the grand prize game with Bozo.
And you just keep throwing. You're like, can I go now?
No, you do the fake throw where you don't actually have any coins.
I knew somebody who used to do it like when it was, you know, 50 cents for a toll or 25. They would do it all in pennies.
Oh, jeez.
They would keep packets of pennies in their car and then do it. And it would go forever.
It would circle even in the little tube to get down there. It's
That's fun for the person.
That was like 5 years ago. That's what's really unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really? Doesn't seem like it?
Listen, last week seems like 5 years ago. All right. Thank you very much, Judy. Appreciate it. And Violetta. But actually, before we let Judy go, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Searching for deadly contraband among counterfeit World Series rings and designer knockoffs. On the hunt with Customs and Border Protection. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9. I want to check that out.
Well, speaking right of that, look at this. Lourdes Duarte from the WGN-TV newsroom is joining us right now.
How about that?
And has details on this. Do you not, Lourdes?
I do.
Well, okay.
Yes. I can talk to you guys about my story that's coming up tonight at 9 o'clock. Shall we?
Yes. Please, well, you looked very surprised when I brought it up. Like wait a second. Hold on.
What am I talking about?
This is an investigative piece. I'm not supposed to talk about this.
No, you know what? I was talking to the producer about some of the headlines today, and so you did catch me a little off guard.
Okay.
But I'm happy to talk. Did you guys get sick of Ben yet, and so you've got me on here?
Yes.
Is that what happened?
Been sick of Ben for a decade.
Yeah, that was 10 years and a whole TV station ago.
Yeah,
we wore each other out.
It's all right.
All right. Well, I will try to do a good job for you guys this afternoon. All right. So this is what we've got.
Okay.
You've heard about this whole opioid epidemic and fentanyl and just the thousands of lives that have been lost because of this stuff. We got a chance to go inside U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the international mail room that's over by O'Hare, and they showed us the amount of fentanyl that is coming in from overseas, mostly from China. People just putting it in a package, putting it in an envelope, trying to ship it here to the U.S. And so back in 2015, they had zero fentanyl that they seized. By 2017, just to show you how much this is growing, they confiscated 951 pounds of this stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a huge
deal. A lot of pills, because these are not heavy, right? I mean, that's amazing.
That's a lot of stuff that could cause a lot of damage, because if you're familiar with this fentanyl, it's a synthetic drug, and we've all heard the stories about that you just kind of come in contact with it, or you touch it just briefly, and that has killed people, has killed kids. They've got canines that they now have to equip with, Narcan, that naloxone, to make sure that they can reverse an overdose if that happens. All of that has to do with this fentanyl that's hit the streets and is causing a lot of harm out there.
That is absolutely amazing that people just put it in the mail. And there's nothing you can do if it's coming internationally from China. They're not going to send people over if they're just sending packages and it's unclear where they're coming from. It's almost impossible to track.
Right. That's the thing. And one of the things that they mentioned to us is, look, we can monitor. We can have the best screening systems and x-rays and try to catch as much of this stuff as possible. But there's going to be some things that are going to get through regardless. Even if you have the best monitoring system out there, there's stuff that just inevitably is going to get out there. And so what these guys are doing is that they will ship this stuff from China in, let's say, a brown envelope or a brown box. They will send it to, let's say, a building complex or an apartment complex, and they won't put a unit number. They'll put some sort of vague name on there that maybe you don't really recognize, so that when the box comes to that building, it just kind of gets thrown with the rest of the mail, in that front entrance area. And the bad guys are watching these deliveries, so they know when the delivery is going to come through. They watch for it, and then sure enough, as that package comes in, maybe it's got a certain marking on it, they go right up to the door, they grab it, and they take off with it, and now this stuff is out on the street.
You do see that a lot. Lourdes is right. You see, like, in a lot of buildings, they just have a package room, or the people will just leave stuff in a smaller townhouse or small apartment building against the door or inside the screen door, and people don't even pay attention to it because everybody in the world is getting some sort of package delivered every day
these days
from all over the world.
So have they been busting the people grabbing up these boxes?
That's one of the things that we're trying to check on right now, how many of these busts they've been able to make, because obviously you've got two different branches of this. You've got U.S. Customs and Border Protection, which oversees the border walls, oversees the mail that's coming in internationally, and then you've got Homeland Security, which does a lot of the stings and a lot of the investigations. So they're looking into exactly how many busts they've been able to make, whether it's, and you know, I talk about fentanyl, but a lot of other stuff is coming in too, like counterfeit items, counterfeit bags. We saw Gucci, Louis Vuitton, all that counterfeit stuff is Cubs championship rings that are coming in. One guy said, one of the officers said, the weirdest thing I ever had somebody try to get through customs, through the mail, live salamanders.
Well, there was that dude. Do you remember this? There was a guy coming from China who had live birds stuffed down his pants.
Oh, wow.
Now, what do you give the bird to relax?
A service bird?
It was a weird deal. He had all these jungle birds, which are they're very rare, and they're and that's what the guy was doing. There's another guy that had a monkey, too, that he tried to squirrel away on his person.
Well, was it a monkey or a squirrel?
No,
it
was, you know what I mean.
I didn't realize there was a market for live salamanders, but apparently I'm wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, there's a market for everything. I just look at the internet. Hey, I want to, by the way, speaking of this, the opioid crisis, this is a staggering number. 52,000 people died in 2017 from opiate overdose. 52,000 people. Mm. That is approximately the same number of people who died in the entire Vietnam War. American soldiers who died, and Marines and airmen and sailors who died in that conflict.
Yeah.
So you got to think. So for that entire decade-long conflict in American history that is, you know, still politically resonates, the entire thing, we lose, and we'll lose another 50-something thousand this year to opiates as well, they think.
And you talk about opioids, but fentanyl is the other part of this, which they were saying that from that alone, from just the fentanyl, it's like 20,000 deaths just from that particular
And so much
drug.
Of it, as you've been saying, Lord, is it's because people don't know what they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. There's so many of these are accidental. They're mixing that with the alcohol, and people go to sleep and just don't wake up.
Prince died from fentanyl overdose.
That's right.
Right? I mean, there have been a number of high-profile people over the last couple of years who've died from this. Mm. All right. Lourdes, thank you very much. We'll watch you tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Is this at 9 o'clock?
9 p.m. on the WGN News. It's part of a WGN Investigates piece.
Now, how many newscasts are you going to have to anchor today?
I'm just doing the four. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving for a little bit and coming back for the night.
Coming back for the night.
So
okay.
That's it. That's all I'm doing.
Okay. I'll validate your parking.
Thank you. I see what's
going on here. she's working this out. Yes. Explain to the IRS. No, I had to return.
I had to come back.
This is a receipt for that return.
Jeez.
All right. Thanks very much, Lourdes.
So nice to talk to you guys.
Right,
if you get sick of Ben again, just come and,
don't worry.
And knock on my door.
Yeah. We will.
Okay.
All right. Lourdes Duarte, you can see her tonight on the WGN TV News at 9 with the special report about fentanyl at O'Hare. We've got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN News in 2. We're heading to the Museum of Broadcast Communications to broadcast live from the Saturday Night Live, the Experience exhibit. Monday, March 5th from 3 to 7. I know Bill and Wendy are going to be out there tomorrow. We're going to be out there a week and a half from now. Come join us. We'll have your tickets. We can bring a limited number of people with us for this.
Cool.
Because the museum's closed. It's going to be like afternoon at the museum.
Wow.
I think Garfield Goose is going to come to life, I think, is what's going to happen and chase us around. It's really going to be something. Anyway, wait till you see the Saturday Night Live exhibit.
It is so cool.
Amazing. And what we're going to be able to do with it for our little broadcast is going to be something very special So stay tuned. Great Moments in Vinyl is going to be our band. We got prizes. We're going to play News or Ruse from the original Jeopardy set. From the Jeopardy,
Will Sean Connery be there?
From Saturday Night Live.
That's therapist. Therapist.
I'll take the rapist for $400, Alex.
No, don't do it.
That's therapist, right?
Golly. Oh, man.
So it should be a lot of fun. We've got the place to ourselves.
I'll take anal rhythm. That's an algorithm, Sean.
It's an amazing exhibit, and they even have the how do we say this on the radio, Ro? The famous Justin Timberlake song about a present that he and what was it, Andy Samberg, something was in a box. They have those costumes under glass there.
What was in the box?
A present.
That?
Yeah,
all presents come in a box.
Well.
I'll take anal bum cover.
Oh, jeez.
for $600, Alex. No, that's an album cover.
Incredible. So that's the level of the humor we're going to be doing out there.
No, it was the best. That's the best, though. They showed
the
Jeopardy clips.
Yeah. They did start it. That's true.
Can I sit at the weekend update desk and...
We were thinking about putting your news desk at the weekend update desk.
Can I start every update, though, with a famous line?
Are you going to call me an ignorant slut? What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Bro, you ignorant slut. All right, hold on. Tom.
Yes.
Tom, I want to say
Rosanna Dana going to be there?
Maybe. You know, we'll see.
It's, wasn't that a ride?
I'm Rosanna Dana.
It's going to be something.
Mm-hmm. And now that would be nothing. You look at your chicken and you look at this thing in your hand and you say, where did that come from? You know? Just remember that.
Well, the whole bit of Rosanna Dana for the kids was so, that she was a commentator, news commentator, but she always got the premise wrong of what was going on.
Right.
And now there are entire cable networks designed to do that.
Exactly. It's not a joke anymore.
Tom, can you see this on the CLTV if you're watching this on the CLTV?
Yes.
Can you see what
yes.
I'm doing here? I'm going to hold this up right here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you see this?
What is that?
Do you know what this is?
I do. Yes. Right. That's a Snuggie.
Yep. Tom's feeling Snuggie. Now, hold on.
Okay.
I'm opening this thing up.
You know what, Ro? I remember when somebody from Creative Services came in here and they said, what would you think of your face being on a Snuggie? And I said, not a lot. You know,
wow.
A lot of people have sent pictures. Look at that.
Tom's Skilling Snuggie.
That's a beauty.
Hold on. That's so
Gotta get that. I forgot that we're on the radio. I gotta get to the
you
microphone.
Need that microphone there.
Hold on.
You're going to wear it?
In this thing. This is a lady sent this to us.
Mm-hmm. Very sweet.
How nice.
She is from Wakanda. And her name is Kathy. And she sent a very lovely letter to us as well with it, talking about how this has been in her family for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
And
but
could
looks nice
not
and clean.
Wait.
Yeah,
you could not wait to get this thing. Hold on, I'm gonna put this thing on.
How do you do
this?
Is that for just one person, or do you have is that a twofer?
Well, yeah, that's the.
I remember that. Yeah, that
it's designed to fit me, Richard. So
Tom, come on now.
It just.
So where do we get one of those? Can we buy those?
Bro, you're swimming in that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say that like I'm one of those priests in the Lord of.
Yeah, you're scaring me. You're like the Game of Thrones, where they take your face off and stuff.
If anybody had ever told me that Roe Khan would be wearing a Tom Skilling Snuggie, I mean, I really feel like I've arrived now.
Is a moment for the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
It is.
Sure.
To photograph and burn, right? No, that looks very nice.
This is very comfortable. Now, Tom, I just have this question. You know, Snuggies were, at one point, a very, very popular item.
Yeah. Yes.
Did they wet your beak with this? Did they give you a little
royalties?
No. No, never got. You know, people thought I got a cut of those things. No, I never did, and nor would I have sought that. But I, and I'm glad to be able to clarify that because people were wondering. No, what we did do is we took some of the proceeds and we gave to charity.
That's nice.
So that was, the station did that. So.
All right.
It's
okay,
very
this
nice.
Is lovely. This is just
Rose Image was on actually some Huggies, Tom. It was a little bit
is
different.
That right?
It was for,
is that right?
That's for adult and child diapers. the Huggies. He was on that.
See, guys, you can have your own Snuggies now.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. The way this business is going, I would take that deal in a heartbeat.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Are you doing this in honor of Tom Skilling's birthday today?
I am saying happy birthday to Tom Skilling.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Happy birthday, Violetta. I know it's your week, too, and thank you, Ro.
Tom, you're the only person I know that has a birthday any time around. This time of year.
That's fantastic.
I know.
Happy birthday to you.
It's quite a popular month, isn't it? We've had a lot of presidents born in February.
It's almost like they have their own day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but George Washington was born on the 22nd.
Yeah.
Are you like a, let's see, this is February 5th. So you'd be like a Memorial Day baby.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Conceived Memorial Day.
Yeah.
That's one way to look. Normally,
her Flag Day.
These things follow blizzards or something like that. You know, you can find that.
Right, or bad weather.
Here of Tom in the back of a 57 Chevy. We don't need to hear about that.
I'm just thinking.
Besides, guys, I came out of a test tube.
Why not?
We don't even have to go there.
More of a weather front, I would guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, my parents told me they brought me home in an ice storm. They always suspected that was the culprit in getting me into this weather.
Right off the bat.
Yeah. So, and there may be truth to that. I don't know. But Ro, I'm flattered to you've worn my Snuggie.
In honor of your birthday.
Thank you, sir.
And this, Tom's 38th birthday, we honor him with the wearing of the Tom Skilling Snuggie, which is going into the Museum of Broadcast Communications now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did I tell you that my roommate gave me some, post-65 birthday, what these these years mean to you. For instance, they say, when you're given something at this age and beyond, you don't have to worry about it wearing out.
Oh, my goodness.
And then also, by this age, your brain cells are now at a manageable number, the working brain cells, which is good. Oh, and also, when you're called at 8 o'clock at night, the opening line is, did I wake you?
Yeah. Right.
That's, yeah.
Or usually, why are you waking me?
Yeah,
it's the middle of the night.
You know what time it is? Well, listen, Tom, in a couple of years, they'll just start giving the same present year in and year out because you won't remember.
That's it. Yeah, that's the wonderful thing as it goes on here. You know, you can repeat, you know, you don't have to come up with anything new.
Do you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go make coffee immediately and then go through your insurance papers? Is that I think, is also like, sure, you know, you get to a certain age and that begins right there. You start to worry. Wait, what did I forget? I know. So where are my keys?
Yeah, I know.
A lot of mail with Wilford Brimley's picture on it or William Devane.
And when you do forget your keys, you start thinking the worst. You know, you think, oh, my gosh, you know, here it goes. What is that stuff, that octopus stuff that they're supposed to take at the drugstore? Jellyfish. It was some substance.
Oh, yeah, Prevagen. Prevagen, yeah.
Yeah.
It's made from jellyfish, and I'm thinking, those things sting, right? That's like, I don't understand. What is
Who
that?
Who in the world would have thought to look at anything that comes out of a jellyfish as a... You know, a memory.
Look at the jellyfish.
This is not birthday party talk, okay? We're here to celebrate Tom Skilling.
No,
on his
you're just here
day.
To continue to promote your own.
No,
you're
I'm
pegging
not.
It
this
to Tom.
This is his day, and I want him to be celebrated.
We are talking about that.
Jellyfish.
Listening?
Violetta, you're just a couple of decades behind me. You'll be doing this one day, too, you know? So, you know, it's not bad. You know, when you get to our age, you don't worry about it.
Tom, you look
anymore.
Great. You sound great. And in honor of your birthday, you get to go 5 levels up on the volume on the clicker every year now, just a little louder. I know these commercials aren't as loud as they used to be.
That's right. That's right.
Roommates are constantly banging on the door. Keep it down in there!
Oh, my gosh. Right.
The good thing is you can't hear the neighbors screaming.
The nice piece is you forget what you were worried about.
Right,
that's
exactly.
The best part of that.
And you don't have to worry about hiding your own, or you can hide your own Easter eggs, you know, and stuff like that. That's so there are all kinds
what
of
are we
advantages
talking about now?
To the aging process.
Yeah,
here.
No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, where did I put that? Actually, that's the way that my keys have begun to be like, and my phone.
You and me both. Roll.
I do that with money.
You know what? You know what I did with over the weekend? I bought those tiles. You know the tile. Have you heard about this?
No.
You put them on your keys, or you can put them.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can make your phone ring.
Them, right?
You can make your phone ring from
your
keys, or your phone can find your keys. Now, the real problem is if you lose both simultaneously,
And then you're like, "Where did I put that backup tile? I had another one. They gave me two.
Yeah.
Where's my key finder? You know? And that's a good point.
Yeah.
They look. If I had one of those, I'd lose that too, just like you, Rose.
And then you just get the roommate saying, "Well, where did you leave them last?"
I know.
Well, that helps a lot.
Yeah, I know. Gee.
Where were they?
Did
just
you see
back.
My?
Let's retrace your steps.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Uncle Billy, that $8,000 is still missing from the savings and loan, too.
By the way, I've got to tell you, one of our news producers baked a cake here, and I wish you guys were here to have a piece of this. Bill Snyder just brought me a slice of this, and I wish there was a way to get a piece. Sam Julian is amazing. She bakes these cookies and all the rest for every occasion. So she came in with this beautiful cake, and I can smell it here now. It even smells wonderful.
What kind of flavor are you rocking there, Tom? What does it look like? Banana bread or strawberry shortcake? What do you got?
It's kind of, what would you say, guys? Cream cake?
Buttercream?
Last thing I need, you know, and with strawberry slices.
Oh,
on
that's
it.
Lovely. See, here at the radio station, if somebody brings in brownies, 20 minutes later, you can't feel your teeth.
Exactly.
You got it.
Are these gummy bears for anyone?
They're kind of funny brownies, huh?
Kev!
Kevin.
Sorry, that's the wrong batch, guys.
This is good. No, this
did 100 times.
Classic candy switch, Kev.
These are the ones my mom made, and these are the ones my roommate made.
Right.
Do not get them confused.
Right.
Classic mistake. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Hey, Kev, how is it out there? Yeah, Dan Rohn was complaining it was cold. Do you know that 57 in Phoenix today is going to be the coldest temperature? Bill Snyder researched this for me. 57 in Phoenix will be the coldest temperature they've had all winter. Did you know that?
Yeah, it was very cool today, but the sun was out. So this morning, I think it was 20 degrees warmer in Chicago than it was in Phoenix.
I know.
But as the day's gone on, it's warmed up and it's been fine. It's sunny today. The sun's out, so we're surviving, Tom. Yeah.
But in Phoenix, their winter is the summer when it's over 100 degrees and people don't go outside and they don't know what to do. They're all freaked out by it.
I know.
And I get that. It's a beautiful town though. That city, I've been going there my whole life. My parents had some kind of something out there when
really?
I was a kid that they were involved with. It wasn't, they were like a society. I don't even remember what the hell it was, but they always had to go out there, and I don't know why, and I had to go. And so, I don't know, maybe they were taking in the air. Remember that was, they were supposed to be good for your asthma
or something? Right, exactly. Low humidity, clean.
And it was a crossroads. I remember Phoenix in the 1970s was like two streets and a couple low slung buildings. And now you go to Phoenix and it's like Abu Dhabi. It's like gleaming towers.
I know.
Scottsdale is one of the most fun towns out there. It's just bar after bar after restaurant.
Well,
it's awesome.
Scottsdale is also 400 miles long, right? Scottsdale is the size of Chicago in terms of its actual physical layout. It's gigantic.
Wow. Yeah. I'll tell you
the one
thing.
And there's a Mayo Clinic out there, by the way, just in case. That's perfect for me. Maybe that's what my parents are going out there. My mom was going to go to break the ground for the Mayo Clinic out there. And that was it. All right, listen, we got to run here, but I just want to say, Tom, happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Ro. And guys, stay dry. This is a heck of a rain system we got.
And it's out of here tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, it goes out late tonight, but there'll be several hours where it could go over to freezing rain. So there could be some sub-freezing temps. And there's going to be a lot of standing water on untreated roads for a while. So, be careful later tonight.
All right.
Thank you, anyway, thank you, guys.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Thank you, Violetta.
You're the best.
Thank you,
Tom,
Richard.
You better remember me on Friday.
Thursday.
Thursday, I mean.
What I thought her birthday was last week.
Happy birthday early, Violetta.
Thanks, but I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Yes.
And tomorrow.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
See you, guys.
Bye, Tom.
Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour news? I know it's the headline is 2 days to Violetta's birthday, but other than that. Concho with Anna DeVlantis. Anna's off today. Richard Roper is in.
Hello, hello.
Senator Dick Durbin joins us on the hotline right now. And, Senator, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. A very, very busy time, as it has been in Washington, D.C. First, your thoughts. I would like to get your initial thoughts on a statement that just came out of the White House about an hour ago, a little over an hour ago, concerning their response to this mass shooting in Florida, to the most recent mass shooting in Florida. And it did appear that they're about to make an announcement about bump stocks and support even though that had nothing to do with this particular carnage, it did in Las Vegas, some sort of action against this bump stock technology that turns a semi-automatic rifle into a fully automatic rifle. Your thoughts on that?
This is a news filler. It's an attempt to make sure they have something in the news cycle that says the White House is going to do something about gun safety. It is an empty promise. This agency has been reviewing this since the tragedy in Nevada. They are determining, and I think they will soon, there has to be a change in the law, something that many of us have been calling on since that massacre in Las Vegas. It really means little or nothing.
Is there anything you think that can get passed here, given the fact that Republicans who generally sided with NRA initiatives are in control of both the House and the Senate?
Well, I can just tell you, the Republican majorities in the House and the Senate have stonewalled any effort to move to the issue of gun safety. In fact, they prided themselves in the fact that they removed a regulation from the Obama era, which called for closer scrutiny of those with mental illness before they'd be given the right to buy a firearm. They said that's one of those pesky regulations we got rid of. And now we know that that's just exactly what we need, is more scrutiny to make sure that we have valid background checks and keep guns out of the hands of people who would misuse them. 94% of the American people see that. I don't understand why the majority leader and the Speaker of the House don't see it.
Let's talk about the Russian meddling situation here. The president obviously tweeting over the weekend that if the FBI were less interested, I'm paraphrasing here, but I think I'm being generous in my paraphrasing. Mm. If the FBI were less interested in his Russian investigation and meddling, they could have been more effective in terms of stopping this guy down in Florida, which on its very face is one of the most ludicrous and, to my mind, in my opinion, one of the most offensive tweets of his Twitter career. Mm. If you know how the FBI operates and what how they separate their duties here and what Florida would be responsible for and those field offices would be responsible for versus Washington and all the rest of it, it is a I cannot imagine anything as insulting as this administration has been to the FBI over this last year. I can't imagine anything worse than that. But having said that,
well, let me say at the outset, you know, I'm sorry that they didn't follow through, and we ought to figure out why they didn't. It is a serious question. It demands a serious answer. But why in the world is every tweet from this president, every incident, every challenge in America all about him? All about him. You know, the bottom line is the FBI is an important law enforcement agency. He has been trashing that agency from the beginning of his administration because they've been asking hard questions about what happened with the Russian infiltration of our last election. Instead of this president leading as commander-in-chief and leader of this country to make certain that our election process, our right to vote, is protected from infiltration from Russians or any other source, all he does is give us these tweets after tweet after tweet about how it's all about him. Why do they keep picking on him? You know, it gets a little tiresome after a while. And can I add something else? When a president tweets 15 times in 19 hours, and that's what he recently did, this is not some spontaneous thought popping into his mind. Mm. I don't question for a minute that there are staff people there generating these tweets in his name around the clock.
Well, in some cases, you can read between the lines to figure out which ones there's some legal terms of art that are used in a couple of them over the weekend. That clearly was written by a lawyer.
Yeah, and when the spelling and the grammar suddenly improve, I tend to think it's probably a staffer.
That's a separate issue. All right, but let me ask you this though about let me go back to the let's be fair here. In the case of what the argument that the White House is making here is that during the 2016 cycle, you know, basically enforcement of, you know, and fighting the Russians would have been on Barack Obama. And what were they doing? I mean, he's saying he's done so much more, which on its face is also inaccurate. But what more do you think the Obama administration could have done in 2015 and 2016 as they were starting to realize what was going on here?
Well, I don't think there's been a full disclosure in what they did do, and I think it's a legitimate question. Let's find out what they did. Let's make it as public as we can without compromising important sources. But here's the record. From January 20th, 2017 to the current day, President Donald Trump has done nothing when it comes to this Russian activity that's been confirmed over and over again, which he's called a hoax over and over again, and we are facing another election cycle where we know the Russians are playing in our backyard. They are trying to infiltrate our news media. They're infiltrating our social media. And the American people are going to be hard-pressed to figure out what's true and what isn't if we don't step up and say to the Russians once and for all, get the hell out of our backyard.
All right, let's switch gears here to DACA. Obviously, we are now under 2 weeks away here. It's a week from Monday that the protections for the Dreamers, if you will, expire. And it doesn't seem that we are any closer to a solution here for them. Do you think that by a week from Monday, there will be some sort of action, government action, to protect these, at least the first 600,000-700,000 of them that have signed up for DACA that would be covered here? Or will people start to get thrown out of the country?
On September the 5th of last year, President Trump and Attorney General Sessions announced the termination of the DACA program, an executive order by President Obama, which protected 780,000 young people who'd come forward, gone through criminal background checks, and were going to be spared from being deported and being allowed to work in America. They put the termination date as March 5th, and as you mentioned, it's barely 2 weeks away. What have they done in the meantime to solve the problem? Exactly nothing. I have gone to this president personally twice with bipartisan proposals from the Senate trying to find his support to solve the problem he created. He's rejected them both times. It's up to this president to solve the problem he created. If he doesn't, on March 5th, 1,000 of these dreamers every single day will lose their protection and be subject to deportation and unable to legally work in America. It is a tragedy created by this president himself.
Is there a system for removing them that you know of?
Of course there is. We have the ICE agency, which is empowered to remove those who are here in undocumented status. And when these young people...
did we just lose the senator there? There we go. Senator, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry. We lost you for a second there. But ICE can start removing them as many as 1,000 a day, is what you're saying, starting March.
On average, 1,000 a day will lose their protection.
Okay.
Under DACA, and they will be subject to deportation.
Let me ask you this question. How is your relationship with the president now? Do you have any? Obviously, you were the person who, from that meeting, who came out and said that the president, in a meeting with both with lawmakers in the Oval Office, used the term "asshole countries" to refer to countries out in Africa and other places that he didn't want people coming in from. He wanted more people coming in from Norway. And if you've seen the Olympics, and I, who would disagree with him? But you're the one who was publicly talking about that. Are you able to continue to communicate with him? Are you going to be able to negotiate with him?
I'm still negotiating or working with his chief of staff, John Kelly, as well as his congressional liaison. We've had several meetings since that incident occurred. I stand by every single word I said. That is the word the president used. It's been verified by another person in the room there. Many others have failing memories as to what happened. I can't forget what happened.
Okay. But it's not affecting these negotiations in any way, you don't think?
Well, let me tell you, we're getting nowhere with this president when it comes to negotiating on the big issues. And when it comes to the problem he created with DACA, he's impossible. He wants us to come through with immigration changes which will start to restrict legal immigration in America. People who have waited in line, followed the law, trying to be reunited with their families, would be denied that opportunity. We haven't gone through that since 1924, and one of the most odious pieces of legislation ever passed by Congress. And this president wants us to return to those good old days.
Senator, I think by now a lot of us, sadly, know that this president isn't going to change his ways. But how frustrating is it for you to see so many Republicans, including those you've worked with in the past, who seem to be reasonable and able to sometimes work on things? How frustrating is it to see so few of them, if any, who are willing to stand apart, to stand alone, to stand up to the president?
I'm an amateur student of history. I remember Watergate, and there was a great silence among Republicans as things were crashing around Richard Nixon. And finally, a handful of courageous, really, really patriotic American Republicans stood up and said, enough. We're going to this president. We're going to confront him personally and tell him the end is near if he doesn't resign. It took a handful of those Republican leaders to make a difference in history. I think we're seeing a repetition at this point.
Think that will happen again?
I don't know, but I really have confidence in many of my Republican friends. Privately, when the cameras are gone and people aren't listening, they tell me how they feel, and I feel the same way I do. Yeah. We are facing the prospect of a constitutional crisis here. Those of us in elected office have to be honest about it, stand up for the constitutional values we were sworn to uphold.
Well, it's interesting because some Republicans, Jeff Flake among them, have stood up and tried to, and Jeff Flake has been, one of the most pointed critics of the president, and fellow Republicans aren't listening to him. Hey, and I want to also refine the point here that you are making, Senator, about that act in 1924, which was intended to restrict Jewish and Italian immigrants from coming into the United States, because back in the 1920s, they were seen as the enemy. They were seen as people that were coming in causing crime and unrest and possible communism and other kinds of things that that were being seen, these people coming in from Europe. And now you think about, here we are almost 100 years later, and you think about what contributions people of whether it's Jews or Italians or any of the other people who came in the early part of the 20th century have made, and then you look at it in the light of this, it's boggling. It's mind-boggling to think about how we could be back here again.
I tell you, I have a selfish view on this. I confess it. My mother was an immigrant from Lithuania in 1911, just a few years before this odious law was passed. And it was her people, as well as the people that you mentioned, the Italians, the Jews, the Asians, who were excluded by those quotas in that law in 1924. It took us 41 years before we had the courage and I guess the common sense to step up and finally change that kind of immigration law. Now the president's people are proposing a return to reducing legal immigration in America by the same numbers as we saw in 1924 and excluding groups from certain countries that I won't characterize on your family-oriented show, as the president has called them.
All right. Senator, thank you. Appreciate it. All right.
Good to talk to you.
Senator Dick Durbin. It's a long journey to get here, but I think someone has to stand up and say that that there are things that are happening here in America that are just not right. And, you know, when is it going to take, you know, there's Republicans who off the record will say it over and over and over again. And some on the record are saying it. This isn't about left and right anymore. This is about right and wrong. And what we're seeing here is a whole big bowl of wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom?
We passed upon the stairs. Smoking walls around. Although I was there, said I was his friend.
Our sonic genius, Brian Altimer, requires us to play this every year on what would have been Kurt Cobain's birthday. It would have been 51 this year.
Violetta, will you allow this in your birthday week?
Yes, of course.
It's a little bit of a downer, you know. Although it turns out that Blue Ivy Bean, what was the name of the Francis Bean? That was the beginning of the goofy naming of celebrities, goofy naming their
Francis
kids.
Bean.
Francis Bean. Francis Bean is like, she's like 25 or something now, isn't she? How old would she be? 26, something like that?
I'm turning 26.
I'm sorry.
Did you reserve that
for
the year?
I do like the fact that, like the President of the United States, Violetta makes everything about her.
And it's my birthday week. It's hard not to.
Oh, God.
It's the week I was brought into this world.
Usually just 25, by the way.
Francis Bean's 25, yeah.
Oh.
So Violetta's going to be 26, and it's her birthday week. Because usually you're either 2 or 6, and you talk about how it's your birthday week. But she's still doing that. Okay, just figuring that out.
I'll be doing it to 66.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. On her fourth husband at that point,
oh,
would
geez.
Be my guess.
That's a lot.
I remember when I was 26, such a bright future ahead of me.
Yeah.
Such a ripe age.
Yeah, you remember back there? Remember how?
Yeah, remember a year and a half ago when I was 26?
Yeah, I remember.
The good old days.
I actually do remember that when you turned 26.
I think we went to Canteen Laredo.
Yes, we did. Thank you. There we go.
Oh,
great
Mexican
margarita.
Wait,
I do like the fact that she's now, and she's trying to figure out what we're going to do for her birthday, and we're not doing anything for her birthday.
Wait,
what
do you mean?
On her birthday, we're going to do something next week for her birthday, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, you're not. You're coming.
Which day? Oh, which day is it? Whoops.
We might be going to karaoke.
Oh, that's actually happening? I thought that was just
No. That's a bit.
No, that was a bit.
That is not have. That was the idea of Sylvia Perez, who I have not forgiven for bringing that up on the show.
Again, I love that idea.
Yeah, me too.
You want me to set that up, Violetta?
You guys go. I got that thing that night.
No, you're coming. Or
it'll be the show birthday party for Violetta.
I call dibs on Thunderstruck.
You really?
One of the White Sox popular songs. You guys got to get on board now.
That's right. I'll do Let's Go Go White Sox.
Oh, jeez.
Go!
Captain Stubby and the Buccaneers. Move over, Steve Goodman.
I'm just gonna do. I'm just gonna do Andy the Clown. That's all I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna do Fergie.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Summer,
Fergalicious.
I want to say that I'm glad everybody's having a good time around here with this.
Yeah,
but I will not be having the. I will not be karaokeing.
Okay, fine. Well, so
although
I
my credit card will be paying for it because Violetta somehow has it.
Violetta, it's her birthday.
No, it should not.
She should go on her own birthday on her own time, not on our birthday time.
On Wednesday, I'll be out at midnight celebrating, bringing in my birthday.
Right.
Okay, that's what's happening Wednesday.
I like
Thursday.
Her. She's answering it like we asked her the question.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, thanks for asking. Well, on Wednesday.
So you actually do like 5, 4, 3,
Thursday,
2, 1?
I'm making goodie bags and having a friend's dinner. On my actual birthday, because you have to do something, even though it's a Thursday.
You're making goodie bags,
cabbage rolls
for yourself.
Yeah, mini Patron bottles. We have some keychains. We have some whatever other stuff in there.
There's
I can't
birthday
really
swag.
Yeah, birthday swag
and stripper dresses that fit in that little bag too. It's the same thing.
There's some candy in there, and then I'm taking a break on Friday because it's a little exhausting. I'm turning 26. Then after that, on Saturday, we're going to be going out, and I'm staying out late. Clubbing.
Pass your bedtime.
Clubbing.
Yes. So I told my sister I'm staying out late. She's like, what's that, like 12:30 for you? Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's funny. No, I'm going to be out until 4:30 in the morning. Yeah, that's my plan. I'm going to try. I'm going
to
take a nap,
wait,
I think, at
to get the
four.
Phone call at 4:45 in the morning.
I told you I could stay up until 4:30.
I want breakfast.
Violetta, are you going to even have time for us next week? Maybe we should just cancel the whole thing.
No, I have so much time. I'll recover on Saturday. Then Sunday I'm going to brunch. Mm-hmm. And then after brunch, I'll have time to relax Monday at work. And
this is Sergeant Kowalczyk from the 18th District. We need to talk a little bit about something that happened with one of your employees.
She said you're her guardian. She said to call you.
She said that to call you, don't call her parents.
You have a cash bond for us?
Yeah.
I'm going to get sick. Here comes some outbound traffic.
Here's the one thing about Violetta we know. She carries cash bond with her wherever she goes.
Sure.
Or they confiscate it when you get in there.
It's a friend of hers, too. Cash Bond, how you doing? Nice to see you.
She's got a guy.
She's coming to my dinner.
She's mentioned like 9 activities. Have you told anybody else about them? There's a lot of we, they, our.
It's going to be fun. Saturday, I don't know, though.
Oh, my God. It's still going on.
I don't know exactly where to go. I haven't decided all the locations because I have a lot of time to fill.
You mean your clubbing location?
Yeah.
Not sure which clubs to go to?
Yeah. I haven't been in the club scene for a while, so it's hard
for
to...
For almost 6 months.
Yeah.
I hear that Excalibur's still pretty hot. You might
Excalibur,
want to check that.
Really?
Okay. P.S. Chicago's big, I know.
All the kids are into Concrete Cowboy right now. I don't know if that'll make appearance there.
I thought it was illegal in 4 states, the Concrete Cowboy.
That was my nickname in high school.
Might end up at Bodega.
No, Bodega.
That all sounds right, like a good location.
Maybe. She's already trying to work the doors for these places.
Oh,
I mentioned you on the radio.
Yeah. I have the clip right here. No, it should be a good time. Good time. If you see me out, buy me a shot.
Oh, I like that. I did like this. I did that. Oh, we don't have to worry about
the
door.
More in Chicago.
Don't ever have to worry about the door.
You're a group of girls walking in, you don't have to worry about the door. You just have to walk in confidently. And if that doesn't work, you say, I have a table for John. Yeah, he's my friend.
Mike. Everybody's got somebody.
Everyone's
named
got a Mike.
Troy.
Yeah.
John Lesso.
You know, Frankie.
Troy.
Is Frankie got a table in the back?
I'm with Mike. That is Mike. You just do that. I swear to God. Everybody goes, oh, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Oh, Mike, you should have said something.
That is the trick.
And then you go, I'm with four girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Four girls. We're trying to meet Mike.
And then Mike's like, yeah.
Mike called and said we should come over. What?
Well, St. Patty's Day, too, you go into the bar. Mary Pat, Eileen. Kathleen! My friends are all in there.
Jimmy!
They're wearing green sweaters.
Where is this Concrete Cowboy?
That's at Franklin and whatever by Cuvée.
Yeah, that's a big thing now. They have them across the whole country, right? It's like a chain of them?
Maybe.
Violette, I think you might be a little old for this.
I'm too old for Concrete Cowboy?
Yeah, the last time I had heard about it, it was all like college-age girls.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. What am
Maybe
I old
not
news
Chicago,
now? I'm
but
just 26.
One...
God,
I'm just saying. I'm
I know,
just
but
saying.
You're gonna get mean
Stop
mugged. You're gonna get mean mugged like you do in the ice girls' locker room. It's the same.
Guys, I'm one of you. I'm wearing a short skirt.
26, and some guy's gonna go. Well, you know, I haven't picked a major yet because it's still, you know, I'm an underclassman. So.
Yeah.
Do you have any money?
How old are you? 26.
I'm gonna have to be the sugar mama out then.
Okay, Grandma.
Yeah. You might have to be. Yeah.
I'm not ready
Cougar.
For that.
Cougar.
No.
Kids hitting up for an internship, Violetta.
Yeah.
So you work at GN? Cool. I go to Columbia, dude.
Does this ID look like me?
Can I use your ID, Grandma?
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, all right. Well, this ought to be.
Australia. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're out on Saturday, you should come, guys. You're more than welcome.
Well, they can follow you on... Will you be Instagramming, chatting all of this?
I'll try, but at a certain point, you should just put the phone away and have fun.
Oh, wow. That you are
she's
grandma
getting older.
Look at
no,
that.
I mean, also, you don't want to document everything that's happening.
No.
After like a certain time and a certain shot
just
number.
Establish that you're there, you're cool, that you're out for your birthday, and
yes,
then just turn
exactly.
the phone off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Take a picture of like the sign and then just turn it off.
I will be turning my phone off too for the exact same reason.
Yeah, be out of town.
Enjoy. It's my birthday. It's my birthday.
Lots of Insta story grammars.
Yeah. I'm going to Insta that.
Here's my Insta story.
Blah!
Jeez. In handcuffs.
This is the third time.
Guys, I'm in
I
the
really don't
of police
feel good car. Right now. Right.
It should be a lot of fun. Hopefully it doesn't get that bad. Right. I like to drink a glass of... You know how I am with the water intake. I'd like to drink a glass of water in between most drinks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes, we know. Yeah, we're familiar.
A lot of bathroom visits at the club for Violetta.
Yeah, that is annoying. They're always in the basement. Is there so anything you guys have planned exactly for next week, or you're just letting it happen organically?
Well, we were going to go to Concrete Cowboy, but we can't.
Dang it. I told you, Kev.
Call Mike and tell him we don't need the table anymore.
I'm just going to celebrate it quietly at home with friends.
Right.
I'll let you know how it goes.
No, that's not acceptable. We have to go out.
Oh no, you'll go out. I'm going to celebrate it quietly at home with my friends. Just
okay.
I'll mention you at some point during the evening.
Mm. Hey, somebody I know, I think, had a birthday.
All right.
How many girls are going to be in this? There's a term that I often use for this grouping, but I can't use it on the air
right now.
No, I cannot. How many will be in this group of people? Of young lasses.
Adding. It's like
poorly dressed.
Six for sure.
Uh-huh. Oh, six. Wow. Yeah.
A couple maybes.
You know, those stat, like that they linger in at the end.
Yeah.
So probably like maybe 10.
But don't you have check-in, check-outs in that situation? Like you start with six, you lose two at one bar, maybe you gain one.
Yeah, then like now someone's boyfriend comes out and they don't want to go to the next place. And you're like, okay, you're both not invited now.
Right. And then or they hook up with somebody right then and there.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, well, she's just going to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you should not leave your friend behind. Maybe take her with. But, so it's going to be six of us.
It's your birthday.
Sure.
You don't care.
Yeah, I can't be thinking about other people.
Whatever happened
would
to
she
that
care
girl?
If it wasn't her birthday?
Right.
Come on. Yes, I would.
Sorry.
But on my birthday, hello, priorities.
Right, exactly.
Who do you, you have any celebrity birthday pals that also celebrate?
George Washington.
George Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be out on Saturday, though. He didn't RSVP to my Evite.
Hey, Michael Jordan's birthday was this week, so at least you guys celebrated a birthday week.
Double Violetta. Nickels.
Can you share the spotlight with Michael Jordan? Have you heard of Michael
MJ.
Jordan? Basketball
yes,
player.
Number 23. That was my number in grammar school.
Mm-hmm. At Drew Barrymore.
2 years ago. All right. Right now, I'm sorry, Judy. That this
you guys
has to
don't
be
sound very excited, actually.
Right now, I just called Concrete Cowboy. We're closed for renovations. We'll be open March 10th. Thanks for calling.
Even Billy Deck is like, this is too much about me yourself. Like, yeah, it's too weird. It's almost embarrassing. This is embarrassing self-promotion.
No photo of Joyce Schlotnick for you.
But Joyce Schlotnick's like old enough to be her dad, right? So we can't. This doesn't even work anymore.
26.
All right. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour? From the WGN newsroom, Judy?
I'm sorry, were you coming to me?
Yeah.
She was planning my birthday party.
Yeah.
Was making calls.
She was like, she was making calls. Mr. Manley, I refuse to work in this environment.
Making calls for a travel agent. I need to get out of town now.
All right, being serious here.
Yeah.
My serious face. And
we got tickets for you to join us for our Saturday Night Live show at the Museum of Broadcast Communications here in Chicago for the SNL exhibit. We're actually going to be doing the show from the exhibit. Judy's going to be the Weekend Update desk. We're going to be on the main stage along with...
Bro, you ignorant slut.
Great Moments in Vinyl is our house band. And we're going to play News or Ruse from the Jeopardy set, where I, of course, will be the Will Ferrell character, and Judy will be Sean Connery. So
my goodness.
It's going to be really something.
Can we
Did
do
you
like
say
an,
ornery?
Ornery. Oh my gosh. Can we do like an intro at the beginning, like they do for SNL? And like right now, and I think it's a very talented cast, but they have like 29 members. So like we should do that at the beginning of the show, where everybody who's associated with the show in what way, what's, because they start off with like, it's Saturday Night Live starring Tom Hanks, and then it's like with Mikey Day featuring, like you all get different yep. like billings. You're like the star of it, and then you're the feature, and then you're the with.
We, you know, it's too bad because the longtime announcer from Saturday Night Live, I mean, up until last two seasons ago, so it had been 40-something years that he'd been doing it, or 40 years. He just passed away.
Is that Don Pardo? Was that Don Pardo? Or is that a different
Yeah, well, I guess, wait, hold on. Let me think about that. Hold on.
Because right, he was the same announcer forever.
Yeah. Like,
with John Belushi!
Yes, I guess it was Don Pardo. But was he... Yeah, I guess was he still... Anyway, the point is that the new guy is not as identifiable. So we might as well just have Chris Duffy do it, because Chris Duffy's a more identifiable voice now, our own production director.
But just have him like just with the cool sax music. Just everybody that's ever been associated with the show. You have to be like 38 people.
That's true.
And then finally, ladies and gentlemen, roll call.
Does do Kevin and Violetta, are they part of the main cast, or are they the with?
They got you the know, with.
And with the
be
young
like,
kids.
The video of them would be like at the, you know, at the hipster hot dog stand, kind of looking up. Oh, hey, I didn't even know there was a camera there. Out on the street.
But how many likes do we have?
Oh, wow.
You might not get that.
Well, not ready for birthday party players.
Good one.
All right. So can anybody? Should we give away a couple pairs of tickets right now? Can I do that
Let's
right
do
now?
Do it
to the Saturday Night Live show.
Do it. Do it.
Still ready.
We just got to make sure. Okay, we're good to go. All right. Callers number 19 and 20 at 312-917-200. Rip us off. Callers number 19 and 20. Rip us off for a pair of tickets each to that show.
And that's extra special because it's not open to the public during that time, right? So the folks that are winning tickets are going to have a great chance to not only see the brilliance of the radio show and hear it, but all the exhibits and check all those things out. It's very cool.
It is.
I love it.
And there's going to be Bang Bang Pie.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I believe that.
He did Gangnam Style, right?
We have Bang Bang Pie and Biscuits are going to be there as well.
Biscuits.
What is happening?
I feel like you're getting Ron Burgundy on that part, bro. Like Jeff and Brian just added that in. This.
No, I've had Bang Bang Pie. It's really good. Mm.
Bang Bang Pie.
No, it's not anything weird. It's just
I'm
pie.
Bang Bang Pie.
All right, let's leave the humor of Saturday Night Live.
Ah, yes, that's
it's
right.
The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Well, is the president softening on the concept of gun control in America after the shootings in Florida? And obviously, since he has been president of the United States, there have been three major incidents in the last 5 months. Las Vegas, that church in Texas, and then here.
That's
it's
right.
been a very, 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 very difficult period of time here. And today at the White House, the president was bestowing the Medal of Valor on recipients. He says that he is going to have a listening session next week with victims and with witnesses and survivors from Columbine, Colorado, Newtown, Connecticut, and, of course, from Florida in this case. And he now says they must do more to protect America's children.
The key in all of these efforts, as I said in my remarks the day after the shooting, is that we cannot merely take actions that make us feel like we are making a difference. We must actually make a difference. We must move past cliches and tired debates and focus on evidence-based solutions and security measures that actually work and that make it easier for men and women of law enforcement to protect our children and to protect our safety.
What are those measures, and when is he going to do it?
Yeah, I don't. First of all, the debates that have been going on forever have been, there are some common sense solutions here that mm-hmm. keep getting, they can't either get kicked down the road or they just shelve it because there are people, especially in the NRA and in the lobby, that the weapons lobby that spent a lot of money in Washington and in Springfield and other places, and even here in Cook County and in the city of Chicago to you know, keep laws that impact gun ownership from going into effect, that that just continues to happen. There's no turning back from that. And so those ideas have been shelved all the way along. The bump stock thing, that's a ridiculous thing. That's the easiest thing in the world to get passed. Easiest thing in the world to get past. You even had some gun manufacturers, because it's not their product that's being used to enhance the lethality of the product that these companies are selling, that are upset about the bump stock. They were behind it, and they couldn't get it passed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a ridiculous, ridiculous thing that they keep turning around. And you got to remember that, you know, it was the summer when there was that crazy guy from downstate who went to the Republican baseball game, the Republican baseball practice.
Practice, yeah.
Right?
Early morning.
And used a similar weapon to shoot a bunch of people, including almost killing a guy by shooting him between, it, you know, in the thigh. Mm. And it almost killed him.
Yeah. Mm.
Right? So it's like the hip, I should say. I mean, that's how lethal these weapons are, because once the bullet gets it makes impact with the body, it tumbles around.
Jeez.
It's got such incredible velocity. It's designed to do as much internal damage as it possibly can, so that the victim bleeds out as quickly as possible.
Wow.
So, I mean, it is not. I mean, that's just a reality here. And either we're going to address it or we're not. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would bet $100,000 right this second that nothing gets done.
Absolutely, I agree. Unfortunately. And just more empty words from the president, even as he talks about we need more than empty words, but that's pretty much all he ever has done in
more
than a year now.
Pretty much almost any politician has done. Mm-hmm. Because, and then I love the idea, and by the way, watch for this. And again, I'm a gun owner, and I'm saying this. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that style of an AR-15, which is, of course, that's like the M16, the American-made M16, that was the weapon of war in Vietnam, and until fairly recently, subsequently. And then you have other AK-47 type weapons too. The whole idea here is they're smaller, portable, semi-automatic weapons that, you know, for military purposes are fully automatic. These are very, very the high velocity, high muzzle velocity, very, very, very lethal weapons. They, in the hands of the citizenry, doesn't seem to make a ton of sense.
Right.
Handguns, fine. Hunting rifles, fine.
Yeah.
But people want to tell me that that's a hunting rifle are lying to me, and I know better. So yeah. you can't get over on me. I grew up around weapons. Mm. My whole life I've been around guns, and I know the difference. And so the only reason that you want to tell me that is because it's more fun. It makes you feel better to have it, because you get to play toy soldier if you want, yeah, around your backyard.
Target practice.
But the reality is, those are very, very dangerous weapons in the citizenry, and it doesn't make a ton of sense for those to be readily available. Hey, the other thing here is when they say they're going to send it down to the states. Well, this is better handled in the states. That's where change really can come. And you've got even some news organizations falling for that concept, like CNN is falling for that. Well, maybe when they take it down to the states, that's exactly where this stuff goes to die.
Yeah.
Because the NRA specifically target local legislators. They target state legislators and state senators, because those are the easy ones to
exactly.
knock off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
So that nothing's going to get done at the state level. This has to be handled at the federal level or not at all. And then we just have to admit that that's what we're going to be as a society. You have the other option, too. Go, listen, you guys won. This is the way it's going to be. Everybody gets one. And as Newt Gingrich is now supporting, maybe we should just make sure that principals and gym coaches and every other student, every other teacher in the school has a gun, too, and they're trained. Is that what we want to be in America? You get to make the decision. All right. Okay. Checking in.
Number four.
At a White House press briefing today, the press secretary, Sarah Sanders, discussed the president's opinion about the Russia investigation.
The president has acknowledged that multiple times before. He acknowledged it during the transition. He acknowledged it during a press conference in Poland. And he acknowledged it for a third time at a press event in Poland. He has stated several times, I think one of the places where you guys seem to get very confused, and it seems to happen regularly, the president hasn't said that Russia didn't meddle. What he's saying is it didn't have an impact, and it certainly wasn't with help from the Trump campaign.
Okay. Let me just break that up for 1 second. Okay. This idea that it didn't have any impact, no one will ever know the answer to that. You can't say definitively that it did or it didn't, because there isn't going to be a way to study that and figure that out. Mm. You definitely know that they tried to influence opinion in America. And did that help the president win the election? Maybe. Likely. Other things that were happening simultaneously, too, had the exact same effect, whether it was, you know, the discussion of Hillary Clinton's emails, which, of course, the president, the problem here is, as we'll all recall, the president was extolling the virtues of Russian interference in August of 2016.
I hope they get them all.
Right. When he stood there in a press conference and addressed the cameras and goes, Russia, if you're listening, you know, if you could release the emails, you would be widely applauded for that here by the press. He was then, you know, joking at the end of it. But the point is that, I mean, yeah, we get it. They were playing around. And it ended up, the president's position on this, it was interesting. It was on Twitter this morning. And I get, I'm trying to figure out the mental gymnastics that he does to pretzel himself into a reasonable response to this, or response that he tells all his friends around him at Mar-a-Lago and also at the White House, and then they go, "Oh yeah, no, I get what you're saying." And his argument is that this is very simple, that the Russians may have been involved in something like this, had nothing to do with me, and this was all Obama's fault, and if they had really done anything about it, this wouldn't have happened in the first place. That on its face would be fine if it weren't for his son agreeing to take a meeting on an email with Russians who had dirt on Hillary. And then 2 months later, the dad, the president of the United States, now standing in front of a room of reporters and taunting the Russians to release the emails. Hmm. Right? I mean, that's that they have been involved in this. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? And he's going to do nothing about it because he doesn't want, for whatever reason, people say that, you know, they're going to blackmail him or this or that. None of us know yet. Maybe Mueller knows. I don't know. But I will say this, that he's not going to do anything about this because he thinks it's going to help him again in 18 here, hold the House or the Senate or both, and in 2020.
Sarah Sanders says he acknowledged it, though. She said he acknowledged it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He acknowledged it. All right. We'll get you a 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour? Bottom of the hour. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Anna's off today. Here is Richard Roper, and we're in the top 5 up to
number 3.
Vicki Cornell, that's the widow of Soundgarden frontman Chris Cornell, who committed suicide in May, is opening up about his battle with addiction, which she believed played a part in his decision to take his own life. Here she is on Good Morning America.
My husband was the furthest thing from a rock star junkie. He just wasn't. He was the best husband, the greatest father. I lost my soulmate and the love of my life. He wanted to be there for his family, for his children. He loved his life. He loved his, you know, he would never have ever left this world. People think that addiction is like, oh, you were an addict, and people don't recognize it as a disease.
It's really something.
So sad.
Yeah. He's that's why, you know, that Soundgarden is a very specific fan base. Mm-hmm. Very dedicated fan base, and they were, you know, it was quite a loss.
He's beloved in the industry as well. You always heard nothing but great things about him from fellow musicians.
Not your typical rock star junkie. That's interesting, because she should know from rock star junkies. I'm sure there were quite a few of them she's run into in her life.
Number 2.
NBC is presenting a five-minute version of The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon during this week of the Olympics. Have you seen this?
I have not.
It's called The Fallon
Clever.
Five.
Clever, I say.
Yeah, it's got a monologue. It's got a comedy segment, an interview. It's all in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Which, by the way, tells you that you don't really need a full 60-minute talk show
That's
anymore.
That's my first thought. I don't know if you're Jimmy Fallon. If you want to go ahead with this, someone might go, hey, you know.
So how's it going? Well, how did it go for Fergie?
Today is day 11 of the 2018 Winter Olympics. Now, while it is day 12 of Fergie's national anthem at the NBA All-Star Game, it's still going on. It's still going on now, yeah. Another big story right now is U.S. hockey. The women are going for gold, while the men are close to being eliminated. Which also kind of sums up the year 2018.
Okay.
Those Olympics, I'm enjoying them, but it feels like it's been about 7 weeks now that we're that they've been playing.
Yeah, it's like there have been six White House scandals in the 11 days,
and so
I'm a little, I don't know how long this could go for.
Yeah.
I, you know what? I don't know. All of a sudden, I'm watching ice dancing, and I'm into it, and I'm thinking this is a bad Olympics. The best thing I'm seeing here is ice dancing.
Yeah, they only have three sports. That's the problem with the Winter Games, I think. You know, so. I always advocated, I thought basketball would have been good during the winter, since that's when people play it, but it's a summer game, according to the Olympics.
Well, like the half pipe, there's like 16 different ways you can go down the half pipe, and a snowboard, and skis. Apparently there's, you know, coming up at the end of this, people are running down the half pipe, jumping up in the air, and then you know, sliding down the side. I don't understand. Although I do think that these guys flying around in the air are kind of fun.
I think they need to combine some of the sports. It'd be a lot more fun if that was going above the curling at the same time. The half pipers doing those twirls and stuff while the curling was going on, and maybe just a little pairs figure skating. Watch it!
Again, it's unclear why a curler would have to dope, but it could but you have the Russians dope on anything.
Dang, I know, that was great.
That's what I did, by the way. We made sure that the Russian curler doper was disclosed.
They were doping in the Paralympics.
Oh my God.
They are!
That's amazing.
I forgive them for that. I'm gonna go with that. It's all right. The rest, I don't know. All right.
Jeez.
Number one.
Address all of the mail to Kevin Pell. Thousands of mourners gathered over the weekend to say goodbye to Commander Paul Bauer, Chicago Police Department. Today, his wife thanked the city for helping restore her faith in humanity, and Captain Mel Roman, from the 18th, had this to say during a press conference.
On behalf of the 18th District, we are devastated. What's getting us through this, and I want anybody and everybody that's watching, whether you said a prayer, whether you were the gentleman that walked through the 18th District parking lot literally lost when I stopped to talk to him, he had a dozen donuts in his hand that just wanted to do something, that wanted to give it to an officer. That means as much whether you said a prayer, whether you gave a dozen donuts, that means more to us than $1 million. Whoever did what they can do, the fact that you did it, held this in your prayers, trust me when I tell you that that is the fuel that is keeping us going. The community outreach is what is keeping us going, and we appreciate it very much. So to every single person, trust me when I tell you that one of our sorrows is the fact that we can never possibly be able to thank every single person individually. So I want to take that opportunity to say that now. So no words can adequately describe what we feel, so I'm just going to simply say thank you.
Captain Mel Roman, Chicago Police Department. Let's leave it there.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Richard Roper is in for Anna today. We're going to check in with Alex Stone in South Korea here. He's covering the Olympics for ABC News.
Yes, very cool.
And that is very interesting. I'm still trying to figure out what some of these sports are.
Sure.
Every 4 years, I try to figure out what these sports are. Here's the you know what I like? I'll tell you what I like. I like about like the snowboarding and the X Games stuff that has now worked its way into the Olympics because they've got a simple scoring system. 100 is good.
Yeah.
0 is bad. Right? And then I know. So the guy gets a 95, you're like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I like how you get like 3 tries. So if you screw up on 1 and 2, you're not out. You can still have that one miraculous run. I like that too.
Figure skating, though, but wait, hold on a second, Kev.
Yeah.
Figure skating, it's like 48.2. And then there's some of these other things where you get like that is a 7.6. And you're like, we just missed a 7.5 by 1/10.
But I like that you could see the scores in real time as they're adding up now. With
but
the
that's
judging,
only
right?
for part of it, though.
For part of it, yes.
And then you're like, because by the time you're done, you get a bunch of green lights and you get a number and you go, oh, they won. And then they have to sit there and it takes forever. And then the Russians have to, the Russian judge has to get cash. The French judge has to hate the entire process. Oh. And then the next thing you know, they screwed the Chinese guy. That's how that goes.
Well, those figure skating judges are like the motion picture board, the ratings board. They don't have to, because we said so. You know, so it'll be like, this movie has 700 kills, all kinds of horrible things happening, but it's PG-13 for, you know, but then it has, you know, a little bit of nudity. I love reading the reasons they'll give something a rating, you know, some suggestions of colorful language, like Black Panther. I think, you know, part of the rating was because of a rude gesture.
What did Black Panther get? PG-13?
Well, the little sister gives a spoiler alert. Little sister gives a character the bird at one point. So that rude gesture will get you in. It's got to be PG-13. Everything's PG-13 these days.
Right. By the way, I believe that's what the American Ice Dancers got last night was a PG-13. You go, okay, there you go. Kevin,
Black Panther is PG-13. But if you show the booby, you're going to get the R. You know, that's the way it works.
I just think for the events, like some of them, the broadcasters follow these events all the time.
Yeah.
Every year, even on non-Olympic years. So when they watch, they just sort of, they go right back into the expert mode where everyone watching at home watches the sport once every 4 years. We have no clue. You do have to dumb it down a little bit for everybody at home follow along.
That is a problem, I think. And, you know, there's a certain expertise into doing that where you don't dump it down too much. But you're right into it. They're like, hey, amazing. He did the to the naked eye, there's a, you know, pairs figure skating, and it looks like it was flawless, but in the middle of the routine, they go, oh, that's heartbreak for the entire nation. Oh, my gosh, I cannot believe. You're like, but nothing happened. Oh, all those years of hard work. She'll certainly go back to the salt mines now, and her father will commit suicide because in that country, you must do it. You're like, but what happened? And then someone falls. That fall doesn't mean anything.
Right, because it depends on when they fall in the routine.
Oh, it's late in the routine. It's better to go for it and not make it than to not go for it at all.
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand a word of it. Although I will tell you this, that Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski have a good thing going, and you can see that NBC is trying to make them into a talk show.
Yeah, they're the Hunger Games announcers, essentially. They're dressed like them, and they sound like them. And they're definitely trying to give them a reality show. I think they have done a couple of things like that. They're fabulous in many, many ways.
Truly are the Hunger Games.
We see them at the Olympics and the Kentucky Derby.
At some point, I believe Tara Lipinski is going to cut Johnny Weir's throat in the middle of it.
Oh, my God. He's like, I can't believe you packed my Kentucky Derby hat. How could you think of that?
You won't be able to actually cut his throat because he's wearing a choker.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Hold on. We'll check in with our own Stone Pony in Pyeongchang right after. Judy, first tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour. Yes, it's the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis. Boy, this story is now breaking. We're going to get to Stone Pony in South Korea in just a second. But this is an amazing story that Vice President Pence's office has acknowledged that they were going to meet with the sister of Kim Jong-un in South Korea during the Olympics.
What?
But that there was a cancellation at the last minute. Now, I'm not sure who canceled on that yet.
Well, you'd have to have somebody else in the room with the two of them, right? He wouldn't just meet with the sister alone. He won't do that. So that might have been the problem. Mother could have put the kibosh on it.
Oh, God.
Is that the sister that everybody was like, oh, she's amazing for about 2 days in the media and then realized, oh, that's probably not a great idea to turn her into like the darling of the Olympics?
Right. Right. I mean, it was, yes.
Like the minister of, we lie about everything for
the country? Yeah, she's the minister of, we will blow you up with a surface-to-air missile.
Everyone's like, oh, she's, you know, she's capturing the, no, she's capturing, all right. That's what they do. They capture, and then you don't hear from the people again.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen.
All right. Alex Stone is in South Korea right now.
The man.
For ABC News and for us right here. And he is our Stone pony. Mm-hmm. By the way, are you seeing this story that is breaking that Mike Pence was scheduled to meet with the North Korean Kim Jong-un's sister? This is a
No, we hadn't heard that. That's
breaking right now that there was a meeting planned between the two, but it was canceled the last minute.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk while he was here about what would he do, would he meet with them, and he had said that he was open to it. The North Koreans had said that they were not so open to it because they wanted to focus on sport and not on politics at that time. Plus, he was doing a lot of tough talk while he was here, and while South Korea was trying to make nice with North Korea. But it wouldn't have been all that much of a surprise if there had been some kind of secret meeting that went on, just because they were so close. But no, I hadn't heard that they were planning any kind of meeting, and apparently it didn't happen.
Yeah, well, we'll have more this is just breaking right now, so we'll have more detail on that as that becomes available. That's something. Hey, all right, let's talk. First of all, how is it there? We have a couple of other colleagues that have been in Pyeongchang for this, and you find the accommodations good? Are people pretty calm there? I know a lot of people were concerned on their way there that there was going to be some sort of bad behavior by the North Koreans, but that seems not to be in the cards.
No, you know, as long as the North Koreans are taking part in these Olympics, there's really no concern here about the North Korea trying anything. The thinking was that these games were safer if they were taking part, because Kim Jong-un, he wants to be seen as this sports powerhouse. You know, he's trying to create almost like an East Germany sort of thing from the 70s and 80s. And they've created an all-sports TV channel in North Korea. He's creating all these different institutes to create athletes. I mean, honestly, their athletes here have not done very well, but he does have this apparent aspiration for becoming this kind of rogue country with a great sports program. So the thinking being that he wasn't going to try anything that would mess up these games, and that's exactly what's happened. He's been silent. We haven't heard a word from him. His sister was here. She went back last week. They've been very quiet, 50 miles north of where we are right now, up in North Korea. And the expectation is, once these Olympics end, that probably he will resume his normal stuff. But as of right now, he's been very quiet. And answer your question about the accommodations, they've been great. You know, the South Koreans, even though Americans haven't seen these as the most exciting of games and the most thrilling because it hasn't been a ton of gold medals, the games have been very smooth. They've gone off exactly the way the South Koreans wanted. They did a lot of planning for this. No major hiccups. And accommodation-wise, you know, everybody's there in their own boat only because the accommodations are so different. But we're up in the mountains. There aren't a lot of hotels around, so people are in condos. Some are commuting back and forth to Seoul a couple of hours. But we are in condos that the first thing I noticed when we walked in, there's no furniture in these except for a bed. I've got a living room. I am standing right now talking to you because I have no seat to sit down on. There's only that part that was a little bit odd. But other than that,
you'd think with all those Scandinavians there, some of them could have built you a chair. Jeez, you know?
Right.
Good at that.
Right.
I want to
go to IKEA and then pick up a chair. You know, they're winning all the medals here. That the least they could do is make us a chair.
Right.
But
hey, Swedish team,
you know, they're little things, but you know,
pampered American wants a chair.
That's it. It's interesting
all
though.
I said to my wife, I cannot wait to sit on our couch when I get home because I have not had anything to sit down on since I got here.
And sitting on the side of a bed is not fun. That just reminds me of what your grandfather used to do when he had to come live with you.
Yeah, and the bed is about 2 feet high and hard as a rock. So it, you know.
Oh, it is Swedish. Let me ask you something quickly before we let you go. In terms of the way that these games have been coming off, it has been very precise. But I've noticed, too, there's been the weather's been in the way, especially up in the mountains. There's been a lot of wind. It's been colder than normal. But then down in Pyeongchang, on the coast, it looks like it's summer down there. How warm is it down there versus what's in the mountains?
It's quite a bit warmer down on the coastal cluster, so there are two different clusters. We're at the mountain cluster, and wind has been a problem throughout these games, although it's beautiful today, and then we've warmed up to about 40 degrees, and then so it's a lot better. But last weekend, the feels-like temperature was negative 16 and 50-mile-an-hour wind. That's tough on the athletes. I mean, you guys know in Chicago, you know that weather, but imagine for spectators standing outside in that, not moving around much for hours on end. That it was tough for everybody. But down at the coastal complex, it could be 50. It could be, not a lot of wind down there. It's two very different climates just based on whether you're in the mountains or you're down along the water.
Yeah. All right, Stone Pony, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you when you get back to the United States of America.
Good man.
All right. Thank you. All right, there he is. Alex Stone, ABC News. Right now, we've got Judy Pollack standing by. WGN News in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Anna off a couple of days. Richard Roper is here.
Yep, yep.
Coming up, more tickets to come see us in the SNL experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. That's coming your way Monday, March 5th. They're closing the Museum of Broadcast Communications here in Chicago and letting us have the run of the place. And we're able to invite a limited number of people to take part in this Saturday Night Live show, because they got a beautiful Saturday Night Live exhibit.
You have to get on the list.
And you got to be right. Mm-hmm. Like Violetta has done now, to be on the list of every bar she's going to on Thursday night for her birthday. But more on that a little bit later. Because if you missed earlier in the program where she hijacked the show to discuss her birthday night was going to be like.
It's actually my birthday week, but yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have to revisit some of that coming up in just a few minutes.
She was giving us like links to Amazon if you want to buy her things. We didn't even ask. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, it was very lovely. Anyway, the point here is that your opportunity to rip us off for those tickets coming up in just a couple of seconds. By the way, more detail on this breaking story that Mike Pence was scheduled to meet with the North Korean, the sister of Kim Jong-un. Kim Yo's son or whatever her name is, right? Is it? Yo. I just know that Yo is one of her names. And the North Koreans canceled at the last minute. They're the ones who pulled the rug out from under Mike Pence. I bet Mother was mad about that.
Hoping for an invite to one of Violetta's 9 parties.
Probably, schedule open. I don't think Mike Pence is going to be attending that. Anyway, very interesting breaking development here. More on that in just a few minutes. All right. Now it is election season. It is election season. Marie Newman is joining us. Now, Marie Newman is running for Congress against Dan Lipinski down on the southwest side of the city in southwest suburbs of Chicago. And first of all, I ask this of everybody who wants to go to Washington, D.C., Marie, and with all due respect, why? Why? Why do you want a piece of this
action? You have this great life, great family, all these great things happening, and look what you're doing now.
Yeah. What is it? What are you planning here?
You know what I realized, Ro, is that after Trump, and it becomes a bit trite now because we all say this, right, that are running, after Trump but many other issues around it, no one's coming to save us. We have to save us. And the reality is that somebody has to step up, and I was that somebody. And so when I started working with the district, and we've been running together as a team since, oh gosh, it's a year now, somebody has to be the leader of that team, right? And so I am the leader of that team.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year for Democrats, right? I mean, obviously, now you're in the Democratic primary coming up in a couple of weeks here against Dan Lipinski, who's also a Democrat. That is a very long lasting and respected political brand on the southwest side of Chicago, the Lipinski name, right? His father was a long time serving congressman. He is now as well. But he's a Democrat. So what's the difference here?
Huge difference. In fact, I'm loath to ever call him a Democrat. Our differences couldn't be sharper. He's anti-healthcare for all. I'm pro-healthcare for all. I'm pro-immigrant. He's anti-immigrant. I'm pro-working family. He doesn't believe in a livable wage, paid leave, or affordable child care. And he's anti-civil rights on every front. So he's in lockstep with Trump on many things.
Well, now, let's talk about the Democratic the caucus as it exists now. Do you get a sense that there is cohesive leadership nationally on this issue of being, because this really is kind of a golden opportunity that happens sort of rarely in American politics, where you do have a president who is so wildly divisive as Donald Trump is, right? He's got a very, very passionate core of support. He's got a very, very passionate opposition. And this is an opportunity for Democrats to really make gains in places that have, you know, sort of been on the fence before. And I think the Southwest side, this particular congressional district that you're running in is one of those, because it's divided. You got Mount Greenwood and Beverly, West Beverly in Chicago, and then you've got the Southwest suburbs. You've got a lot of you know, working class folks down there who are pretty conservative, mm-hmm. yet they have sent a Democrat. They're sort of that is the prototype of the Reagan Democrat as it was designed in the 1980s. I mean, are they really going to go for a true progressive?
So let's take a step back on that. I'm going to correct you very respectfully, Ro. So let's look at 2016. Bernie took the district by 8 points. Hillary took the district by 15 points. So it's not just blue, it's true blue, dark blue, bright blue, however you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 out of 10 voters are pro-choice. 9 out of 10 voters are pro-LGBTQ. 9 out of 10 voters are pro-immigrant. 9 out of 10 voters are pro-fight for $15 per hour. I mean, this is a solidly progressive district on every metric. And it's not just in the data that was before 2016. It was in the current data, and it's in the 2018 data, as I've polled. And I've also talked to 4,000 people over 132 meet and greets. So this is not just a data thing. This is a real anecdotal data, proven. And it's the biggest misnomer I've ever seen. Mr. Lipinski would like the district to be like it was when he inherited the seat from his dad in the monarchy that exists now. But it is not. It used to be 12% Latino Americans. Now it's 30%. It used to be 1% Muslim American. Now it's nearly 10%. And there's a wide mosaic of other folks, but it's solidly true blue Democratic, and he is very Republican in every way. So this is a gigantic mismatch.
Let's talk about the Democratic Party here in terms of getting back to the other point here, which is do you feel at the national level there is the kind of organizational effort and the leadership at the national level to take advantage of this moment for Democrats?
I think there is. I think that we're maybe slightly disjointed, but I see things coming together. You may know that Senator Gillibrand from New York endorsed me, and she's taking a leadership role. There's lots of other really strong leaders in the party right now. So I think that we are coming together as a party, but we are being very clear on who we are. I mean, it's a-okay to be critical of one another. You get better. We all improve when we're critical of one another. So I'm okay with folks coming out and saying and calling people out on issues.
Nancy Pelosi is one of has become a brand that Republicans are using to beat Democrats up with, I should say, try to beat them up with. If you mm-hmm. were to make it to Congress, would you vote for her to be your leader?
I would have to see who's up for it. I know that there are several people that are vying for that position. So honestly, I couldn't say at this point because I don't know who's going to be competing against her.
Yeah. It's interesting because it does seem like there's a young crop of Democrats. I know the Democrats have been talking about this basically since November of 2016. Okay, what do we need to do to to change the branding of the party? Because let's face it, if Donald Trump, despite what he said about himself on Twitter over the weekend, what a great candidate he was not your standard candidate. You know, he was not a guy that one would anticipate, especially given the, you know, all the stuff that came out in the last couple of weeks before the election. You think, no, there's no way this guy could possibly win. But he did, which is as much on Democrats as it is on him. Right. I mean, that's
right.
And he even talks about that. In the same breath, he's surprised that he won. So what changes do you think Democrats have to make here?
I think we have to think about campaigning and elections in a very different way. And that's why my campaign is very different. And everyone is shocked that I'm doing as well as I am, because I've done it kind of the polar opposite of the way we've done it before. I am doing almost all voter contact and very little fundraising.
I am emphasizing both fighting and collaborating at the same time. And so building this coalition was maybe the way we did it 30 or 40 years ago. So I'm really harkening back to those roots and voter contact at the doors and on the phones. And it's working. We're in a dead heat right now. Mr. Olchinsky and I are in a dead heat, and he is completely shocked and flabbergasted. And you're seeing this with Doug Jones. You're seeing this with other great candidates throughout the U.S. So we do have to look at elections, how we do. We do have to look at fundraising. It's ridiculous that we all have to spend time fundraising. That's ridiculous that we have to spend the level of time. So I'm hopeful with a new crop of folks coming into Congress that we all have this common sense approach to, let's stop doing all this silly stuff, and let's get back to talking to voters and solving problems.
You worked in healthcare, right? Is part of
healthcare marketing.
Healthcare marketing. Okay, so you're familiar with this. Mm-hmm. What do you think the future here is of healthcare as it pertains to Washington? Obviously, the story is just crossing right now about the fact that even though Obamacare is dead, according to the president, they are still going to be penalizing people. The IRS is still going to penalize people for not having the proper health insurance, at least in this year.
Yeah, they've tried to, and let's be clear, the reason that it's not doing as well as it was before, although it is not dead, I mean, that it clearly is operative. The reason that all of the subsidies have been broken down, and he's tried to break it down at every turn. So the reality is it's having challenges right now because he's created those false challenges. But we do have to have something in place. We can't just dump it. So would I prefer Medicare for All model with some changes? I don't love the bill as is, but if we took some operational changes and some rollout changes, I would be very comfortable with it. And do support it as is, but needs a management consultant's eye to it, which I have. So I'd happy to be a worker bee on all of the messy details. But yeah, we have to do something different. We've had 45 or 50 years of capitalized markets. That the great thing about capitalism is that you have to make money. I'm a capitalist. I get that. I was a small business person. But when we've done it for 45 years the wrong way, and prices continue to skyrocket, we have to think about it differently.
And right before we let you go, let's talk about this. Obviously, the tragedy last week in Florida.
Right.
There's a lot of discussion here about changes. The president, through the White House today in their press conference, press availability with Sarah Sanders, said that she didn't want to give anything away, but obviously they're going to be doing something. She alluded to something they're going to be doing about bump stocks, at least.
Right.
Do you believe that there's going to be any kind of gun reform, and where do you stand on that?
I am very pro-gun safety. I believe in the Second Amendment, but I believe we have to put the assault ban and get rid of automatic weapons. You and I do not need automatic weapons.
Well, but automatic weapons are semi-automatic or automatic? Automatic are already
semi-automatic.
Illegal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you say semi-automatic weapons, this is where it gets complicated, though. Do you right. mean semi-automatic assault-style weapons like the AR and the AK, or are you talking about a 9mm handgun?
So, depending on what accessory you put on that, and how, and bump stocks are one of those items, is that let's get rid of bump stocks. If he's willing to do that, wow, I'm surprised, but I'm thrilled that he is. So let's get rid of bump stocks and accessories that create a situation where you can create an automatic weapon of sorts. So let's get rid of semi-automatic weapons. Let's put the assault ban back in place. I'd be in favor of that. Let's also get universal background checks. The issue is that we have background checks in something like 30 states, and the reality is they're not tethered together, so it doesn't do anybody any good, because someone that is either a criminal or mentally ill or should not have a gun can get it in one state but not in another state. So they just go to the state that they can get it in. So we need a database that actually works.
Right, and the database is on paper. That's part of the problem, too.
It's scary. That is the scariest thing on the planet.
NRA moved very deliberately over the last number of decades to make sure that they didn't computerize those names, because again, they were playing off this notion that if you do that, then there's going to be people coming and grabbing your guns. It'll be too easy to stop people and know people's addresses and where they actually have the guns and all of that, which is when you stop and you think about it, I mean, for the people, you know, for the I would argue the wing nuts out there who are want to own as much as possible because they're afraid the government's going to come get them, and they, you know, the paranoid wing of America, that may be that might work. But I think for most thinking gun owners, you know, and I hate to use the term normal, but I'm going to use it. Normal people who are, you know, law-abiding folks who, you know, may have a gun or two, or they may be hunters or whatever it happens to be in the United States. I think that they would like the idea of a computerized system for background checks.
80% of NRA members, 80+% of NRA members want background checks because they believe in responsible gun ownership and safety and protecting people. Right. So this is not even an issue. 90% of the nation believes it. So this is all nonsense. This is Paul Ryan, and I'm just going to call him out, not having the wherewithal and the backbone to bring this to the floor. He's over his career. He's had millions of dollars given to him by the NRA, and he will not bring a very logical bill to the floor. So this is because he lacks a vertebrae.
All right. Marie Newman, she's running for Congress down on the southwest side of the city of Chicago and southwest suburbs. So thank you very much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. Coming up, your chance to rip us off for the Saturday Night Live tickets. Well, it's Saturday Night Live show that we're doing. It's not Saturday Night Live itself. It's a Saturday Night Live exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
It's an experience.
I didn't want NBC to sue me for misrepresenting. Right now, here is Violetta. But first of all, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Early mornings this winter, stay safe and stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer weather forecast and Sarah Jindra traffic reports.
Oh, boy.
That's weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN TV Morning News.
I'll take anal bum cover for $7.
Oh, that's an album cover, not anal bum cover.
I can read Trebek. That says anal bum cover. I spent 5 years of my life trying to invent an anal bum cover. Failing to do so is my greatest regret.
That is from the great Jeopardy bit that Will Ferrell used to do as Alex Trebek. And then you've got there's Sean Connery. That was Daryl Hammond. Daryl Hammond is Sean Connery.
Man of a million voices. The great Daryl Hammond.
Wow. One of the great mimics of all time.
Absolutely.
But that is, to me, one of the funniest bits of all times. It's like almost throw up in your mouth, so funny. Because... Anyway, right now, callers number 19 and 20 at 312-981-7200, 19 and 20, rip us off for two tickets apiece there, pair of tickets to each caller, for the big Saturday Night Live show on Monday, March 5th.
Right.
It's a week from Monday.
It's soon. It sounds like, oh, it's way down the road. It's like, no, it's around the corner.
No, it's around the corner. It's at the Museum of Broadcast Communications at the Saturday Night Live exhibit there, and it's going to be a ton of fun.
Perfect way to see it, too, for the lucky winners. Get to just hang out, kind of see it just with a very small group, see the radio show, say hi to everybody. The exhibit's really cool. They got, you know, so many, we talked about the costumes. They got, like, Chris Farley's, remember Matt Foley, living in a band down by the river, the suit and the shirt and everything there.
The Killer Bee. You go back to the original seasons, and then it really is. Really is a special, special, special thing.
It's really cool.
And then we're very lucky in Chicago to get it for the year. They've got it for the whole year here. So this is definitely something people...
It's only been two places, right? It was in New York, of course, and then the next choice, of course.
And I'm planning on giving my rendition of Chris Farley's Chippendales audition live in front of a studio audience.
So you'd be perfect for that. You really are. You are sort of a... You're sort of the slimmed down Chris Farley character on this show, anyway.
It'll work.
Reach into that Sherry O'Terry cheerleader outfit, too, if you'd like. Because Farrell must be a little too big for you. Get those cheerleader costumes there.
All right. Daniel Bumgar for 200, now. Alex.
Hey! So soon.
That's an album cover. All right. Right now, Judy Pilak is standing by. She has got the WGN. Is it now? Do I go to Judy now? No, I don't. I got to go to another break, don't I? That's probably good news to cover a little bit here between anal bum cover and Judy. Okay. Judy's news coming your way in 2 minutes. It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. Richard Roper is here.
Hey, can I tell you something real quick, Roker?
Sure. Yes. What is that?
I was just thinking about this too. We got to pat ourselves on the back. Or remember who we were talking about, the Black Panther, and I told you all those estimates were going to be low, and they were. So we were right here on the show. I said it was going to come. They were saying 160 million. It did 240 some million. Black Panther in the opening weekend.
Wow. And you gave it four stars.
Four stars, and the reviews have been almost universally positive, and lots of great word of mouth. I told you this story, to correct me up, because of course you get a little bit of that backlash, and someone said to me, "Oh, yeah, I wonder what you would say if they did a movie about a white warrior god from an all white country, and they made a superhero movie about that." I go, "It's called Thor. They've made it.
It was just out." Ragnarok, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But you know what? Those are Russian trolls. I have just decided something. With the exception of Violetta's fine work on Twitter, I have decided, and Insta and the Snap Tutor.
Snapchat.
I guess that they've just redone Snapchat or whatever. Despite all of that, with all of the fine work that is done on social media by especially young women who want to promote their careers, I think Kardashians immediately. Everybody else, as far as I'm concerned, is a Russian troll.
That's all that's happening.
And you're wondering, did you see that after in the aftermath of the school shooting here, there was something like 26,000 Russian bots, the same sort of... let's put it this way. Bots reacting to the school shooting last week coming from the same place that they were coming from before, according to the Mueller indictment.
And they just like automatically kick in, right? Like,
yeah,
off a keyword, et cetera.
And they're trying to create the divisions and get people to fight about whether guns are good or guns are bad. You know, it is one of the axioms of destabilization of governments, and this has been done in the 20th century, and this is the truth of history, is that it's been done in almost every conflict, especially in the Cold War. You think of Central America, and you think of Eastern Europe, and you think of Central Africa and Southwest Africa, places where there had been incredible conflict. The people who wish to win the war against the entrenched government flood the zone with weapons to try to destabilize the government, to try to destabilize the culture, to try to create anarchy. And what better way to do it than to flood it with weapons? And it happens, you look at the Central American conflicts in the middle of the 20th century, and you look at what happened in Eastern Europe, and you look at all of that. You know, we were dropping off in Poland, we were dropping off fax machines in the 1980s to try to create to help Lech Walesa and the whole Gdansk movement, right? The United States is behind making sure that rudimentary cell phones and fax machines were there so that they could organize think about what we were doing in the 1980s in Nicaragua. Right, that whole arms the thing that Ali North ended up getting in trouble for, but it was a government operation that was designed to use cash to go buy weapons. You see it actually essayed in this. They were using drug runners to drop guns off against political rivals. It is a thing that happens, and so when you have and I'm not just talking about some guy with their hunting rifle or somebody who's got a handgun for protection of their home or their car, if they've got a concealed carry license, anything like that. I'm talking about tons and tons and tons of the weapons of war being distributed in a society. It's going to create some chaos. It's going to create trouble. It's going to make people, even if you only have a handful of people going out and doing bad things, it makes everybody worried about it, right? Because especially the way that this has been perpetrated here with people going nuts in schools. So it does require some adult supervision here to step in and say, this is what we need to, there are changes that we do need to make here.
Well, you're absolutely right. Talk about the misinformation going back, and then previous wars, dropping pamphlets, with the propaganda messages. And I think even two out of the three ravens that
deliver messages on Game of Thrones. Fake news half the time. Those little messages they're sending.
Right.
Yeah, well, be careful.
But when something would fall out of the sky, you knew it was propaganda. I mean, the people, even the villagers, right, would look at it and go, well, this is not from us, but they're threatening us.
Mm-hmm.
This, you had no idea that the person that was agreeing with you and egging you on to be even more extreme in your position, mm-hmm. left and right, by the way,
yeah,
was a Russian troll, a guy working at, there's a great story in, I think New York Magazine has it, inside, Vanity Fair and New York Magazine has it, it's just popping now on you know, like your news feeds on your phone, about inside one of these Russian troll farms, what the life was like. They were working 12-hour shifts, 2 days on, 2 days off. And what their world crazy, was like, right? As they were doing it. And these are people who were, you know, rudimentary English skills. Hmm. And they were, and it depend, and you had to show a proclivity for a certain type of writing style. And to just go in and by the way, these troll farms are not just targeting the United States. They're targeting places all over the world. This is just what they're doing. And I'm assuming that we've got some too, somewhere. But it's a pretty amazing thing. So I don't know what you see on social media. It's very interesting. Unilever, the big soap manufacturer, household goods manufacturer, has decided it's stepping off of social media in terms of, you know, buying advertising and stuff like that, because they don't want to be confused with the other folks that are doing the same kinds of things. They're creating confusion, and it's going to take Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Snapchat.
They just redid Snapchat, right? What did they just do to it?
Yeah, people don't like it. A lot of complaints out there.
It's way better.
I never, honestly.
There we go.
See? This is what, see, the Russians just got to both of them to get them to fight
about
this.
The high end of the age group that's using the Snapchat.
But nobody even uses Snapchat anymore.
Yeah, well, I deleted the app.
The Insta stories kind of replaced that, right?
Instagram basically.
I tell you, I just missed when I went on MySpace and I had that instant friend, that one guy that would say hi, and then it turns out he was the guy that greeted everybody, Mike or somebody. Hi, I'm your new friend. I think I still have some poetry on that.
Are you still on Zynga?
Who's Zynga? I'll have to ask Jeeves about that. I'm not sure.
Ask Jeeves.
I'm still talking to my paperclip on my Windows computer. My paperclip.
So I remember that paper.
It dances across the screen.
Hi, I'm Clippy the Clipper. Whatever he was. How can I help you? And they couldn't get rid of him. I had to throw a computer out. He wouldn't go away.
You're like, help me get rid of you.
I went on a CompuServe chat room to try to figure it out. It was like, nobody could help me.
Oh, God. Oh, God, help us all.
Early version of Siri.
Messenger me on AOL. We'll talk about it later, man. You got my director.
What's the difference in Snapchat now? Why is everybody so mad?
It's just the user interface, basically.
Yeah. It's a lot more steps, right?
Not really. I don't know what everybody's crying about.
Maybe it's to keep the Russians off it.
Maybe.
Nobody ever likes when they make major changes to their favorite social media, whether it's Facebook or whatever.
But then in a month, no one even remembers what the change was. Right. We're so easy.
Once you get used to it, it's so much better than the previous version, most times.
I almost kidnapped my own iPhone and took it hostage. I hated it so much the first day. And now I'm like, oh, it's the best of a...
Yeah, really? You've turned on it?
We're too gullible.
I love it now, but the first day I was like, oh, what is this? Where's my home button?
I hate trying to open a new person's phone. I'm like, did you just open this? I need the button.
That's one of the reasons I like it, is because you can't open it anymore.
I know.
And all your ilk.
Plus, I can tell anyone's password within like 30 seconds of meeting them.
There's a guy right now walking in bare feet in Namibia who's trying to figure out where he's going to find drinking water. And we're sitting here.
Yes, we are.
Talking about, I can't believe Snapchat's opened its user page.
Well, he's probably not listening to us.
He could be.
He might be. Yeah. So one thing he's got is he does have a cell phone.
Yeah, he does.
And he's complaining. He's complaining about the new Apple, the new iPhone X. All right. Okay. Let me, anyway.
Great technology in that Wakanda.
Listening to the WGN radio app.
Yeah. All right.
Download it today.
This is the guy. He loves Skilling. That's why he listens to GN. He wants to know if it's going to rain. He's waiting for Skilling to mention Namibia.
Tom's birthday. National holiday.
Yes. We want to wish a happy birthday to Tom Skilling. We had a little special moment with him earlier on in the program.
What if we do a conjoined birthday party?
I don't think that's...
Twins are conjoined.
That means you'd have to stick your heads together.
We can just both celebrate our birthdays together.
That's fantastic.
What's so funny?
A conjoined birthday party.
A combined, whatever.
Yeah, combined would be all right. Yeah. Conjoined, we'd have to sew you and Tom together.
Oh, we could wear one of those sweaters, half and half.
Oh, my goodness.
The snuggie.
You're like Tom's mini me.
This is the thing she says. She's got two friends and she calls the restaurant. I have a threesome for dinner tonight.
Excuse me?
Taking that language to new levels.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I do. People misunderstand a lot of things I say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the people. It's their problem. The people.
It happens to me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it does when you say things. Usually that's when it happens.
All right. Martier, what's happening in the WGN newsroom?
Can you go to a grown-up, please?
By the way, before Martier goes, we also share the same birthday. Rob and I, February 22nd.
My God, your birthday is Thursday, too?
It is.
I didn't believe it.
Are we going to have to listen to as much crap about it as we are Violetta's?
Not in the least.
I do it for the both of us, actually. He's one of those like subtle, doesn't want to mention it, and I just do it for the both of us because I know deep down he wants it.
I've stopped counting.
Well, but I didn't believe him.
Fist pumping a concrete cowboy with Violetta this weekend.
I like how Violetta's like, he doesn't want anybody to know about his birthday, which is February 22nd. He was born at 8:47 a.m. If you want to send him a card, here's the address. But he doesn't want anybody really to make a big deal.
I was a morning baby, too.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I don't even know.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And you know, the thing is, it's not even an act.
No, that's the problem.
I just asked my mom because I forgot what time I was born. And I wanted to know for sure. And she told me.
See, this is it. Every year is the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I know, but I forget. Okay. I wasn't really there.
She's such a catch. This is the one thing she's great. Oh, yeah. The other 330 days out of the year.
Wow.
But for 28, thank God it's the shortest month. For 28 days, you can't live with her.
And it's amazing how she brings it back faster than any boomerang has ever returned to anyone. Let's make up more about me again.
Do you remember Billy Crystal at the beginning of City Slickers where he's lying in bed and mom calls him at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is? Oh, my baby boy. That's my birthday now. I don't want to be reminded.
All right. Here is Martier. Tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour.